Welcome to Burnside at Home on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Thank you so much for joining with us. And I want to make a bold promise today. No more gloom. We have had such a terrible year. There have been all sorts of things that have happened, not just coronavirus, but other things that have happened in people's lives over this past year. And today we want to turn to God's Word on this fourth Sunday of Advent and say no more gloom. And so we're going to look together at the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to find out what God says to us about removing gloom from our lives. We want to also draw attention to a few things that are going to be happening over the next few weeks. First of all, can I remind you about our carol service? We're not meeting in the church. It's simply online this year, and it will be available this evening from about 5 o'clock on the church website, and it will remain there. You can watch it at whatever time suits you. And also, this incoming week on Tuesday, we have our drive-in cinema whenever we're showing The Star. And as I record this service, there are still just a few spaces left for the 8 o'clock showing. So do tell others about that and do book your spot to come along. And then finally, Christmas morning service. Again, online only. We're not meeting in the church this year due to COVID. But you're welcome to join with us. It will be available from Christmas Eve evening, and you can watch it at whatever time suits you. And in both the carol service and the Christmas morning service, there are various people from the congregation who are taking part and helping us as we worship God and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Do remember also that the usual Sunday morning services will continue, both Burnside at Home online and also in the church building at 11 o'clock, government restrictions permitting. But today then, we're going to think together about no more gloom and how God's promise of a Messiah means that there will be no more gloom for those who trust in the Messiah. So let's come to God in prayer and let's bow before Him now. Heavenly Father, as we come to You today, we give You thanks that You are the Almighty. We give You thanks that You are the glorious One, the One in whom we place our trust. And today, Lord, we worship You and we lift Your name on high. We thank You for this promise that You have given to us, that there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. We thank You that You have come, Lord Jesus, as the light into a world of darkness. And we thank You for those wonderful titles that have been ascribed to You, that You are the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King forever. And therefore, we come to You this day and we offer You our praise and our worship. And we pray, Lord, that You would be glorified through everything that we do. So, Lord, be with us now, we pray, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Isaiah says to us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress." And we may say, but the prophet didn't live through 2020. How's the prophet able to make a promise like that? But even though Isaiah didn't live through 2020, the Lord God Almighty knows about 2020, and He knew about 2020 when He spoke these words through the prophet. And so His promise holds true today. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. So we come to God and we ask that He would be with us and that He would help us in these times of distress and that He would be near to us and guide us and keep us. Let's begin our service singing, "As with Gladness, Men of Old." We come to God in prayer once again, and as we bring our prayers for others, we also give thanks for God's generosity and the people who have given to God's work here in Burnside over this past week. And as we bring our prayers yet again today, we're going to keep following those themes that the moderator has shared with us and called us to prayer. There doesn't seem to be a call for prayer as a nation to come together, but the moderator has called us the church, and so we keep praying and we keep remembering these things that he's asked us to pray about. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we want to give you thanks for the offering that has been received. We thank you for all those who have contributed, whether in the church building on a Sunday or whether throughout the week in various different ways. We give you thanks for that generosity, and we pray, Lord, that the money that has been received would be used wisely for your kingdom and for your honor. Today, Lord, we want to remember those who are struggling financially at this time. And because of coronavirus and the restrictions in place, we know that many who own businesses, many who are working and have been furloughed, many who are struggling day by day just simply to survive. And we bring them to you in prayer and ask that our government would look after and treat them in a worthy manner. We pray also, Lord, for health care at this time. And in a week, whenever our NHS services have been stretched beyond capacity, we pray for those who have difficult decisions to make, that you would give them wisdom. Guide the government, we pray. Guide the healthcare professionals. Guide those who are working under difficult and impossible circumstances, that they might be able to help and treat those in greatest need. We do give you thanks, Lord, for the vaccines that are being produced and are being administered. And we pray that you would help those who are receiving it first, that they would be able to find some freedom in the weeks and months ahead. We ask, Lord, that all of this would be done in your name and that your name would be lifted on high. Today, Lord, again, we pray about Brexit. And we pray for business owners with the uncertainty as the end of the year approaches. We pray, Lord, that you would guide the governments and the negotiators and that a way forward would be found in these next few days. Lord, we do look to you and we pray for your will to be done through all that takes place. Once again, Lord, we remember the moderator's appeal for the COVID situation overseas. And we pray for Tear Fund and Christian Aid as they will reach out with the good news, as they will seek to help those who are in greatest need. Guide them, we pray, Lord, and help them day by day. We pray, Lord, for South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo and other areas of the world that will be helped. And we pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in those lands, that as they seek to witness as your church, your body there, that they might have great wisdom and sensitivity and be able to help those who are in greatest need. Lord, we pray for the situation at home and we pray for the pastoral needs. We think of families who have lost loved ones during this period, not just from COVID, but from any other disease. And we think, Lord, of the circumstances that funerals took place in. And we pray that you would comfort and strengthen and help those who are suffering at this time. We pray, Lord, for all those who would seek to be friends and to offer pastoral support. And in these difficult circumstances of maintaining distance and not being able to enter homes, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each one of these situations. We also pray once again for our global mission workers. And Lord, under these COVID restrictions, we ask that they would have opportunities to share your good news and to help those that they have been working among for a number of years. We pray that you would be with them and that you would help them day by day in all that they do. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and it's going to be read to us today by Ruth McCracken.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. Now we're all going to sing Come and Join the Celebration, a wonderful hymn that reminds us that this is a time for celebrating. It is a time for bringing glory to God and thanking Him for Jesus Christ. Whenever you ask people about this past year, 2020, you're going to get all sorts of responses. There are some people who have thrived under the circumstances. They have enjoyed having less social contact and have been able to make contact with people in ways that suit them much better. But for many, many people, perhaps gloom has been the one word that is hanging over 2020. That 2020 has not been a good year. It has been a year of distress. It has been a year of difficulties. And so this morning, as we look at God's word and as we turn to the prophet Isaiah, as he makes a prophecy about the coming Messiah, we have this bold claim: no more gloom. Look at verse 1 where we find that claim. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. So there is that bold claim in the opening few words. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. And that seems like an incredible claim at any time, but in the midst of a pandemic, it really does have to be looked at in some detail to see if this is truly what God's word is saying to us. But today, I want to assure you that God's word holds, that this is the same God that we worship today who is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he can be trusted. He can be relied upon. So let's look together at Isaiah chapter 9, these opening 7 verses, and let's see what else the prophet is telling us about the Messiah and telling us about how this gloom is going to disappear. The next thing that we see in the passage is light for those in darkness. There will be light for those in darkness. Now, of course, we have been looking over these past months at there being light at the end of the tunnel. We've been looking for a vaccine. We've been looking for the numbers of infections to go down. And all those things give us little glimmers of hope. But here in Isaiah chapter 9, we don't just have a glimmer of hope. We have light coming in and dispelling the darkness. Look at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Now, if you've ever tried to get rid of darkness, then there's one thing that you need to do to get rid of the darkness. You don't go around and try and gather up the darkness. You don't try and capture it in a bag or in a box and then cart it away so that you're left with no darkness. Instead, if you want to dispel the darkness, you introduce light. And as soon as light comes into a scene, then the darkness disappears. Even the smallest of lights is enough to help get rid of the darkness. If you're somewhere where it's pitch black and all you have is a tiny little match, that match is enough to help you find your bearings and to see quickly where you're going before it's extinguished. If you have a torch, if you have a powerful torch, all the better. Then you can swing it round and you, everywhere the torch points, the darkness flees and you can see what is there. But even the smallest of torches is enough to help you pick out where the things are, what way you need to go, if there are any obstacles in your way. But the light that's being talked of here in verse 2 is not a tiny match or a small torch. This is a bright light. This is a light that we can hardly even look at for fear of it damaging our eyes. This light dispels darkness. This light comes to those who are walking in darkness and lights up the way and shows them where they're going. Where we were once stumbling about, not knowing what to do or where to go, the light of Jesus Christ comes into the world and shows us the path in front of us, shows us the obstacles that are there and how we can get around them, shows us the right way that we should be going. And so there is light for those in darkness, and therefore the gloom begins to lift. Next, we see that there is life for those in the shadow of death. Many have lived in the shadow of death this past year, not just from COVID, but with many other things going on in various lives, many people have encountered that shadow of death. And when we encounter the shadow of death, it makes us think. It causes us to reevaluate our lives. We look more closely at the way that we've been living and we wonder how long we have left to live And then we work out what way we're going to live those remaining days. So the shadow of death is a good thing at times. It makes us think. But here the promise is life for those in the shadow of death. Look at verse 2, the second half of it. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Again, it is light that is life. It is light that comes and removes the shadows. When the light is small, then there tend to be more shadows. But when the light is bright and it's coming from all directions, then shadows disappear. C.H. Spurgeon used to speak of this phrase, the shadow of death. And he used to say, a shadow cannot block a man's pathway. The shadow of a sword cannot cut, and the shadow of a dog cannot bite. In other words, Spurgeon was saying that the shadow of death, chilling though it is, cannot harm us. And because of what Jesus Christ, this promised Messiah, has done for us in bringing light and bringing life, death in its substance has been destroyed, and now only a shadow of death remains. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. The shadow of death is replaced by light and life. And we have this promise of eternal life. We have this promise of life in all its fullness with Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit. So there's life for those in the shadow of death. Next, we see that there is joy for those in despair. And the joy is described in a couple of ways in verse 3. See if you can work out what they are. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. If you looked at Israel and you tried to work out what were the things that would make them joyful, then these two things that are mentioned in this verse would be near the top of the list. The people rejoiced whenever the harvest was brought in. Whenever the harvest had ripened and the food was there for another year, there was great rejoicing. There was great joy throughout the whole people, celebrating the harvest, celebrating God's goodness and how he has provided for them. Then at times, whenever they would have to go to battle, then whenever they would be dividing the plunder afterwards, it was a sign that they had won, that God had been with them, and that God had blessed them. And therefore, they rejoiced together. I suppose in today's world, it would be like joy for those who have discovered a vaccine and are now protected. Or it would be joy for those whose team have won the cup final, and they celebrate together, and they rejoice together. And this is the joy that is ours through this promised Messiah, that Jesus is coming, and where there was once despair in our lives, Jesus brings joy. Where there was no hope, Jesus brings hope into our lives. And so today we have joy in our hearts because of all that Jesus Christ brings us. Then we also see that there is freedom for the oppressed. We find that in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 9. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. This is what Jesus is coming to do. He's coming to break the burdens that would weigh us down. He is coming to take those burdens off us and give us freedom, freedom to be able to live the way that God intends us to live. Jesus, the Messiah, comes and brings that freedom. He is able to break the yoke. He is able to set us free. He is able to set us out of slavery. Slavery to sin, slavery to this world, and to follow the Lord God Almighty. You remember Jesus spoke about a yoke. In Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." These are some of the most comforting words that Jesus has ever spoken. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Surely that's Jesus referring back here to this prophecy in Isaiah, that his burden is a light burden. His yoke is an easy yoke. He is removing all the other things that would oppress us in our lives, and he is giving us the freedom that we need. And is that not what the message that we need to hear as we're about to enter a new year? That we can trust in Jesus and he can do these amazing things. And then also we see that there is peace for those who are at war. Verse 5 describes it so well, because war was such a threat to the Israelites. Whenever a neighboring kingdom would come and try to take over, the people had to fight back. Sometimes they had to go and capture a city and capture an area. And war meant that people would die. People didn't always come back from war. But the promise, the lifting of gloom in our distress, means that there will be peace for those who are at war. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. These things will not be needed anymore. The enemies that come to attack will be destroyed, and there will be peace. So how is all this going to happen? How is there going to be no gloom? How is there going to be life and light and peace? How is God going to achieve this? Well, that question is answered in a very strange way. If we were trying to come up with a plan as to how you could go about achieving all these things that have been promised, we would probably come up with all sorts of complicated solutions. But for God, there is one very simple solution. A child is born. A son is given. And that's what we find as we follow through in Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6 we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These are incredible titles that are being ascribed to a child, to a son. So God is going to send his son, but not as a mighty warrior initially, as a baby, as a child, a vulnerable child. This seems like a crazy plan. There's so much that could go wrong with this, that you're sending a child into a dangerous world, and that child could be destroyed, could be killed. We think of how Herod tried to kill Jesus and all the other baby boys at that time. It could all go terribly wrong. But this is God's plan. This is how he is going to achieve no gloom for us in this year ahead, that we come to Jesus and we trust in him. Verse 7 continues, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So if we want to have a life in this incoming year with no gloom, that isn't relying on a vaccine. That isn't relying on getting a virus under control. That isn't relying on being able to go about life the way that we once did. To have no gloom in 2021 relies upon trusting in Jesus Christ, accepting the child, accepting the Son of God, accepting the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, inviting Him into our lives and asking Him to take our burden of sin away and replace it with His burden, to take the yoke of slavery to sin off our shoulders and replace it with His easy yoke. We would be with Him and dwell with Him and know His help and His goodness and know His leading and His guiding. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this in our lives today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He comes as a child into this world, but He comes as a wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And so today, Lord, we come and we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. We come accepting Your invitation to be adopted into Your family. And we pray, Lord, that You would be with us now. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together now, Silent Night. As we come to the end of our service, we go with God's blessing upon us. And I pray today that we would go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of God the Creator, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Christ be with us all this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.